We've destroyed the economy, and we've used that as an excuse to put millions of people out of work. And it didn't even help those in the economy. Or it didn't even help those in the nation that needed it the most. Especially in New York, when Cuomo sends COVID-19 infected folks to nursing homes with a shipment of body bags. Here you go. The lockdowns were the folks who were impacted by it or by the disease were not impacted by the shutdowns, and the death rate still remained the same in those populations. It is a sad state of affairs, as a matter of fact. We did not see an overrun of hospitals here. Yeah, there were hot spots in the nation. But even those had drawn ire and were brought into question because of certain videos and footage that folks were showing of non-overrun Elmhurst ERs in New York. The article continues that the debate over Sweden will no doubt continue. However, it's important to remember that actions speak louder than words. So what are nations actually doing? As scholars observed in a foreign affairs article published Tuesday, nations around the world are quietly embracing Sweden's strategy. They quote, whether or not they have openly embraced the Swedish approach, many other countries are now trying to emulate aspects of it. Both Denmark and Finland have reopened schools for young children, wrote professors Nils Carlson, Charlotta Stern, and Daniel B. Klein. Germany is allowing small shops to reopen. Italy will soon reopen parks in France as a plan to allow some non-essential businesses to reopen, including farmers markets and small museums, as well as the schools and daycare centers. We're seeing that here in the United States of America as well. We're being allowed to open businesses back up. Restaurants are being allowed to have certain percentage of their clientele in the door. So we're following this now. And I wonder if the carnage that is being reaped by these lockdowns is ever going to have the blowback on the politicians that it demands. Because we seek justice. We want justice. As Christians, our desire, our hope is to see justice displayed in the world. That's why we want justice for George Floyd. That's why we want justice for Ahmaud Arbery. That's why we want justice for the people who are gunned down in the streets and killed in police custody. That's why we want justice for those who have lost their jobs. The world does not have a standard of justice. The world has a standard of what they consider to be right or wrong, but there is justice that must come, and it only comes through the gospel, because God's standard of justice is the only right standard of justice. You know, I'm going to tie this back into the riots that I was watching, because there was a piece that I wanted to point out quickly here. We demand as a people, God has placed eternity in our hearts, as Ecclesiastes has said. We know, we have a sense of oughtness. We know that there must be a retribution for crimes committed. Now, if you're a Christian, your sins and your justice has been placed upon Jesus Christ. As a non-Christian, your justice is coming on the day of judgment, when God pours out his wrath on you for eternity. So you can either accept the fact that God poured out his wrath on Christ and receive Christ as your savior, or you can wait until the day of judgment and have God pour his wrath upon you for eternity. The choice is out there. But we cry out for justice because we know there is an oughtness inside of us. It is innate within every human being that there must be a punishment, a retribution, a making right of all injustices that have occurred. That's why universalism is such a dreadful and terrible plight. It is an offense against God, because God is a just and righteous judge. And if you stand before him on judgment day and you simply say, well, I was alive and I did the best I could, even though I murdered 6 million Jews and 8 million gypsies and millions of Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians and homosexuals, that's Hitler, not me. If we see a criminal stand before the just judge of the universe, and he allows them to go through with no retribution for the crimes they have committed. That is injustice. That is not justice. The world's idea of justice today, you know, we have to have gender-neutral bathrooms. We have to have unisex clothing. We have to have rights for transgender and rights for those who are who think that they are deer. We have to shut down speech because it hurts people's feelings. We have to control thoughts and censor things because it causes people to cry. Those forms of justice are not justice. And the social justice movement has co-opted that term, which is a term which belongs to Christians, and they've used it for their unjust purposes. So the same way that we want justice for George Floyd, the same way that we want justice against the police officers that hurt and affect and cause harm and pain to any individual in the United States of America, we and any individual in the world, any law enforcement officer in the world that causes unjust pain and undue violence against peaceful people, just the same way that we want justice for them, we should cry out for justice for those people who are impacted by the decisions made via tyrants. We should cry out for justice. We're told in the scriptures to pray for our leaders so that we can lead peaceable lives. But we still cry out for justice. Where will be the justice? Will we ever see it in this world? Against the DeWines and the Bashirs and the Cuomos and the de Blasios and the Bells. Against the tyrannical governors who made these knee-jerk reactions and caused such economic chaos. Not just economic, this isn't about money. This isn't just about the ability to work. You have the command and the imperative in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, for a man to work. If a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. We have to take care of our families. We're told, forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together. In Hebrews 10:25, we are told by God to do certain things. And the government tells us, you're not allowed to work. We'll take care of you. You're not allowed to go to church. Watch on Pride Book. Watch on Censor Book. The videos out there. That way we can control what's being said. That way we can censor. That way these things are put in the cloud. We're being told to do those things. So the government is telling us to not do what is required by us via the Word of God. How is that not? How is that not preventing us from living a Christ-honoring, God-centered life? How can I carry out my chivalrous gospel-declared purpose in this world if the government says I can't? You're listening to the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com. I'd like you to sound off in the chat room about that. Crusader Stadium, crusadechannel.com/chat. Will there ever be justice for these tyrants? Will there ever be justice? Now, trick question there. There will be justice. So let me ask you this. Will there be justice in the world now for these? Temporal justice against those? Or will we have to wait for eternity to see how God judges them? Oh, goodness gracious. Lockdowns are shut down. There's a rather long piece at Mises.org that compares the economy to the 1958 and 1918 pandemics and shows that it wasn't the disease that hurt the economy. It wasn't the disease that caused the most damage. What it was that caused the most damage was the economic shutdowns, the lockdowns that were caused. We'll try to put that in the chat room for you to read because honestly, it's way too extensive to cover here. But that's basically the gist of this. They talk about the GDP not moving during those times hardly, that there were issues of problems. and declines in the GDP, but nowhere like we're seeing right now, nothing like the economic destruction we're following now. I would strongly encourage you to get over to that piece to read it at Mises.org, entitled "Why Didn't the 1958 and 1918 Pandemics Destroy the Economy?" Hint, it's the lockdowns. So a couple more things I want to get to right now. The Trump is going after social media. People are freaking out about it right now, too. And I believe they're freaking out about it because right now it is the president's move to remove certain restrictions against the ability to sue these technocratic monopolies that we have here. President Trump is peeling away the liability shield social media companies enjoy under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which was intended to protect internet platforms from liability to of third-party content as long as they act as neutral platforms for free speech and not as editors of content. I would say that fact-checking something, I would say that placing a social or public interest notice on tweets would be considered editing content.